proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Today on Abounding Grace, you're about to hear part two of a message that we aired yesterday called Abounding in the Lord's Work. And what this is essentially an explanation of what God's ministry is to be and to look like. This is important for the church today because we've lost an understanding and appreciation of what God has put in place and how we, in our very ordinary callings of life, can be involved in His work. The world tells us, and even the Christian world, that this is mediocre, that there's nothing great about it. So we got to get out there. And the Christian world says today, do something great for God. You know, it's fascinating that the things that are, quote, great for God are not the things that we would expect. The New Testament highlights the little mundane things. We've got to get back to looking at ministry as God has designed it and understanding our place and roles in the ministry. Then we'll know the kind of fulfillment and satisfaction we're looking for as we serve Him in simplicity and in truth. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio today. Visit us on the web at agradio.org. agradio.org. You can download the podcast, write to us. We'd love to hear from you. Find all of those podcasts there, maps of churches in your areas, and a form there to fill out that we could correspond with you. We'd love to receive your correspondence. It encourages us a great deal. Find us on Facebook. Download apps for your smartphones. We've gone to a lot of work to make Abounding Grace Radio accessible to you. If it is an encouragement to you and you can help support it, all of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to these major population bases in the U.S. Thanks for supporting us. And now here is that message, part two, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 of Abounding in the Lord's Work. In this place, we want to see the gospel advance. We use what we can to provide the best place to let that happen. And we give to see that gospel advance to the ends of the earth. Paul was encouraging them. That's why it should never be a bitter spirit of giving. He's encouraging them because he wanted them to know you're part of a great building project. Don't underestimate your giving to being a part of the Lord's work. That's what he's saying. Don't underestimate your giving as actually doing the work of the Lord. You ever think, I've said this before, but I it's so important because we live in an environment here in this church where we see so many young men pass through here for gospel ministry. And I always like to have us think about what one faithful gospel minister out in the field, preaching faithfully week in and week out, doing his job, preaching. Do you realize the benefit that is to the life of the whole project? Just one. How many children converted under that ministry? How many people born again under that ministry? How many souls pulled out of the fire under that ministry? How many people rescued from that ministry? What's our attitude about that? This is why I've said, and I'm not propping it. I'm saying we have a seminary in our backyard doing this. It's a great work. How much do we need to help to set apart missionaries for the gospel, ordained pastors? We're a part of this. That's what he's telling you. The Lord's work. Paul wrote the Roman Christians in the Church of Rome to explain this. At present, I'm going to Jerusalem to bring aid to the saints. See, it was his concern. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it. And indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings,
they ought to be of service to them in material blessings. These Gentile churches in Macedonia and Achaia took up offerings for the poor in Jerusalem. And Paul says, I'm going there. I'm going to minister that to them because of the generosity of the Gentiles. Paul was excited to encourage the Roman church in this. He needed this from them. He knew it was a sign of a healthy church, and their giving was proof of their thankfulness for what they had received. Paul even said it pleased them to give, and their debtors, for if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, talking about the Jews, then their duty, Gentiles, is to minister to them in material things. Corinth had a struggle with this. He didn't commend Corinth in their giving. And here, they may have had a very sour spirit in it. Sometimes the ministry of mercy can become the ministry of scrutiny with a very sour spirit. We don't ever want a ministry of scrutiny. We want a ministry of mercy. So, dear Corinthians, as Paul prospers you, each of you should set something aside. He doesn't say it's just 10%. In fact, I don't find the tithe in the New Testament. I don't find it. I want a free will offering. You set something aside. As the Lord's prospered you, I want it to come from your hearts. You can really share in my work that way, says the Lord. Give that way. Don't drop in out of burden. As the Lord's prospered you. See the simplicity in that? People say all the time, I want to do something great for God. I hear this incessantly. Let's start with this. It's where Paul started. The great chapter on abounding in the work of the Lord started right here. Amazing. What a blessing. What a privilege. So this is investment in his work. Paul says, then the evidence of that investment, Paul says, send responsible men with a letter. Sometimes in churches, they have even the Canadian Reformed churches have a letter of attestation where they would carry around a letter that stated, we know this person. we can testify to the honesty and integrity of this person. We would be just devastated if we had letters go around with us today. But that's what they did in the early church. They had letters of attestation. And honorable men would carry these monies. And Paul says, send the letter and we'll go together. It's just a beautiful section. You can be a part of the Lord's work by giving to that work. Second, Paul then turns around and says, your giving has the result of God sending. Look at this. There's sort of the principle of he who reaps sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. I want you to notice here what the next section's emphasizing in verses 5 through 12. Many say this is just abstract ministry plans. Not at all. What is this and why is Paul revealing it? He wants them to understand what God is doing and how they are to receive it, but he gives them a window into the heart of the ministry. Here's what God's work is looking like out on the field. What did he promise to do in the Great Commission? Send you preachers. And they would go out and that they would preach and baptize. He gave the Great Commission to his apostles. Go and baptize. Not everyone goes and not everyone's baptizing. Universally, that was understood as ordained servants doing it. I want you to look at verse 5. Now, I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you just now in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door. for effective work, there it is again, has been opened to me. Effective work, there's the work. And there are many adversaries. God was opening up all these doors everywhere. And notice here, God was opening up doors for the ordained servants to be going to places. And he puts these in these servants' hearts, what? Did you notice it? What are they determined to do? What do they care about doing? What is on their heart? They're calculated. They're praying. They're thinking best where doors are being opened and how to be effective. Paul wants to come to them. But this big door is open in Ephesus for the moment. And he goes, there are so many adversaries here. It's hard work, but I've got to stay because I'm seeing people coming in. Whose work is this? In the midst of it, Paul says, if the Lord permits, the Lord is working, the Lord is sending, the Lord is opening, the Lord is filling hearts with wisdom to minister the gospel. Not only are they to support this splendid work, but what Paul's goal is saying, I can't be with you now, but guess what? Somebody else is going to come. Look at verse 10. Who's mentioned? Lo and behold, it's Timothy. Paul wants to send Timothy. When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you. I think a better way to translate that, which a lot of other translations have captured, see that when he comes, that he can come to you without fear. He does the work of the Lord as I do. Why is Paul having to say that? Therefore, let no one despise him. Why would Paul have to say that? This church had a reputation in Corinth, let me tell you. Timothy wanted to go to Corinth, but can you imagine the discussion between Paul and Timothy? Paul, that church is going to devour me. Do you know what they're going to do to me? He had a lot of apprehension about going there, but he wanted to go. You know how many churches pastors won't touch because of hard, complaining people in them? That discussion does go on, by the way. What was Corinth's responsibility? Two bookends. What was the first problem Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 1? Everyone had their favorite pastor. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Jesus, you see. Timothy didn't get mentioned, unfortunately. They were picking who they would support. Their favorite pastors, and who was the big one in the first century? Who was the big pastor in the first century? Who was the big name pastor? Apollos, the preacher. Paul says in verse 12, I wanted Apollos to come. I strongly asked him to come. He said, no way, by the way. He was unwilling at this time. He'll come when he has a convenient time. God had not put it in Apollos' heart to come. But he had put it in Timothy's heart to come. You hear, Paul? Young Timothy is going to come. Don't make his life hard. Don't make him fearful. How many pastors in the ministry I've seen that go through this? Don't make life hard on him. You may not think he does things like Apollos. You may not think he does things like Paul. But you need to know he's doing the work of the Lord. Did you see that? There it is again. Now put this in context. Always abound in the work of the Lord. Timothy does that work. Here's how you abound. Support that ministry. Support the ministry in your giving and support those whom God sends to you with encouragement, upbuilding, prayer, with help. He has put it in their hearts to come to you. He, God himself, has sent them to you. He fills pastors' hearts with desires for where we go and who we serve. That's his work. Don't rip them up. That's what he's essentially saying to Corinth. You abound in the Lord's work when you receive his servants. Understand that? You abound in the Lord's work when you receive his servants. And you pray for them, and you encourage them, and you don't rip them to shreds. Do you see what this chapter is? It's a corrective about ministry. I have to, at this point, part of the reason that ministry is not appreciated as it should be is because we have lost all understanding of the sent ministry, the ordained ministry. We live in a day where we think everyone's called and everyone is to go out, and this is not undermining us doing projects to help people at all. But it is saying that there is a loss today of a sense of the ordained ministry because of this. Consequence, all of these non-called young people went out to do all these radical things for Jesus. They did all of these crazy things for Jesus, helping very disconnected people and messed up people. They weren't trained. They didn't understand much of anything. Then, pressured to go out and do something great for God, pressured to be a workhorse for God, transitioned, the transition from stormtrooper back into ordinary life of raising children and being a good member in the church was gone. It's gone. They can't integrate back into church life after this. We have to appreciate what Paul's saying here. We are to abound in the Lord's work, and you're doing something really special in that work when you support and receive those who minister, and you give and you help that ministry, because he gave some to be prophets, some to be apostles, some to be pastors. That's not everyone. You say, come on, there's got to be more to abounding in the Lord's work than that. Yep, there is. One more thing. He closes the book by telling you how and what station you are called. Here's how you can abound. In whatever station and place you've been called, here's how you can abound in the Lord's work. Here's how you can personally abound in that work. This will be enough to occupy the rest of your life if you do this, okay? Verse 13, five imperatives. Watch. Well, that's this morning. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong, let all that's done be done in love. Anyone who says, well, now what do I do? I've got it all mapped out right here under the inspiration of the Spirit. The Lord has given it to you. Five things you can do to abound in the Lord's work. Here it is. Keep a close watch. Watch your life for apathy and indifference to the ministry. Stay awake. Discern the times. Know, as we looked at this morning, judgment's coming. Know Christ is coming. Watch. Watch your life. Watch. Be alert. First thing. Second, stand firm in the faith. So many people, dear Corinthians, are being tossed everywhere. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. This is the deposit when he says the faith, the deposit of the faith. Jude, the deposit that's been handed to you, the baton that's been handed to you. Be firm in the truth. Be firm in the gospel. It's the characteristic of weak and unstable people that they're never grounded in the truth and they're grabbing for everything. Be firm in what you believe. People come and go. New ideas come and go. It was your former pastor, Reverend Cammie, who told me, Chris, you're going to see all sorts of fads come, and they have come. And he says, they'll come and go, but you can see that the truth when it's preached and when worship's done, reverence and all, the patterns that have been set in history that we have followed have stood the test of time. Stand firm. Be a rock in the truth. Third, I love this one. This one is really encouraging. Act like men. I could park on that one for a while. In a day that we are in, isn't it something? Paul would say, and choose a word that means man up, that has the sense of the qualities befitting a man, meaning courage. Possessing qualities that fit a man, he'd already dealt, I guess, with gender blurring back in chapter 11. Probably is not directly on his mind, but I think this is on his mind. Have some backbone, men. Lead. We're tired of passive-aggressive men who don't have any conviction on anything, aren't leading in the homes, aren't leading in the church, aren't leading in their families. Courage, backbone, stand for something. We need men badly of conviction today. Act like men. Fourth, be strong inwardly. Continue to grow and strengthen in what you believe and why you believe it. Don't be inwardly weak. One pastor says, spiritual strength comes from self-sacrifice, self-denial, and self-discipline. And the capstone, let all that you do be done with love. 1 Corinthians 13, like he showed us. God taught you how to love. You know what love is. He taught it to you in the cross. A new commandment I gave you, love one another as I've loved you. He taught you love. He showed you love. Love sacrificially. And he says, look around. Dear church, you've got people doing this. Stephanas is doing it. Fortunatus is doing it. Give these people honor. God put them in front of you and they're great examples for you. You've got great examples, young people here. We always want to run away to something else. Look, it's a baton handed you, 1 Corinthians 15, from your grandparents and your parents. Hold it. Give them honor. Learn from them. Talk to them. Love them. Follow the example. Paul closes with a greeting from Prisca, Aquila. You'll notice there, Aquila and Prisca, wonderful couple. Notice there, he says, they greet you. The churches of Asia greet you. You're part of a great body. And they send you hearty greetings in the Lord. They worship in their house. And then he says, I wrote this one with my own hand. I want you all to know that I wrote this one with my own hand. Usually it was through, as he spoke, someone would dictate and write it down. This one came from my hand. That's how much I love you. And in a startling ending, he says, if anyone does not love Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Wow. And then he says, Maranatha. Then he says, come quickly, Lord, which probably means if there's people not loving you, Lord, come now. Let's be done with this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. What a book for our times. What a book for our times. I hope that we've learned much of Christ and love him all the more. You are members of his body. Hopefully you have some better understanding of what that means as the body of Christ, the church. And as Calvin used to say, if we have love, we have everything else. In that love, may the Escondido United Reformed Church abound in his work as we give, as we receive his ministry, and as we share by watching, stand fast, being strong, being men, glorifying our God all together in our love for one another. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this book. It confronted us and hit us hard in many places. It showed us how worldly we are and how much needs to be confronted. And thank you that you care to instruct us in the truth. Thank you for your ministry. It's how we're saved. May we have a high view of it and share in it and abound in your work all of our days. Give us hearts that are thankful, that love you, that love Christ, and may all love him. We pray this tonight as we go out into another week. May our love for you and for one another abound in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded.